Well, we're talking about missionaries. Last week we talked about the missionary nature of God, and I didn't bring the poster I had last week where we talked about relationships and developing relationships. But if you remember the triangle, and the bottom part of that triangle was divided into three parts. The bottom part was connecting. The second part was empowerment. And the third part was correcting behavior. And as a therapist, I work with a lot of people and a lot of people that have had trauma, and especially the foster care system. And one of the most important things that we have to work with these kids that have had trauma is working on connecting with them. Because really, come on in. Really what we have is we have the recognition that all therapeutic relationships and that all human relationships are involved with connecting. And you think about a triangle and that bottom part, you think about the first few months of a child's life. What is that child experiencing? All that connecting experience. All that very, you know, time of real connecting. And then as that child gets older, you empower. And then you start working on some correcting of the behavior. Well, as we talked about, you folks, how you doing? Glad you came here. You been here for the first time? Your first time for you. What's your name? Sabrina? And what's yours? Eddie. Well, your first time in the class, we got some presents for you. We have some CDs from Knowing God's Ministry. We have a welcome pack, and we pay you to come for the first time. Now, next time, I can't count on that. Trying to come in quiet. Well, I was sitting here thinking about connecting. I'm thinking, I don't know these people. What am I sitting here talking about connecting when I don't even know the people? So I'm glad you're here. So going back to that understanding about human relationships and understanding that part of the connecting, how powerful it is and how important. And we're going to look at Abraham today. And it's an interesting thing to study Abraham. When you think of Abraham, what comes to mind?
Faith.
His faith. Okay, that's a powerful thing. What else?
Wine.
Why? Why what?
Why study Abraham?
Why study Abraham? Okay, that's a good question. Why do we study Abraham?
What does that movie do?
I don't know. What does it do? That's a good question.
The first mention of tithe is in the story of Abraham.
Abraham, okay.
He was very human.
Okay.
He knew God.
Go ahead. Throw your hand up.
Paul says in the New Testament that these things are written for our admonition, for us. So there's lessons to learn from all of
them. Lessons to learn, okay. He knew God, lessons to learn. It's interesting to look at Abraham and to think about some of the different, you know, words we heard. Faith. Well, human. His faith was something that you could see developed. And that's, to me, that's an important thing to recognize in studying Abraham, is the process of him developing to the point that he was toward the end of his life. I think that's always an important thing to do. And you look at the way God connected with Abraham. How did he connect? What ways did you see him connecting? Okay, he called him out from his family, said, you're going to be a great nation is going to come from you. That was a connecting experience. Don't you like it when you feel...
It's a connection if you're going to do it. I mean, you just don't come to a stranger and say, hey, come on, and do it.
That's right. That's absolutely right. What did it take for Abraham to respond to that calling? To know who God is. Did he fully understand that moment? And isn't that true about each one of us? we understand to where we are at this point. Where's that point going to be 10 years from now? I sure hope in my life it's a lot further than it is at this point. You folks talking about your son. How does that impact all kinds of things in your life? All kinds of challenges. You know, we don't know what kind of life experiences are going to challenge us in our life. And yet, hopefully we'll come to where Abraham came. We're going to look at that today. But I want to look at a few texts here about Abraham. Anybody else have anything about Abraham that stands out? How did he respond to the God's calling, his connecting? Go ahead.
Obedience.
And did he understand fully everything?
He trusted.
But it wasn't just a blind trust. It wasn't like I'm going to fall off this cliff and think I'm going to be okay. He trusted because how the relationship had developed, but he didn't really understand. And that's an important part of this, is to really recognize how the connecting experience that he and God experienced and how that continued on throughout his life. Go ahead.
I think the thing that took me is he wasn't afraid to have a discussion with God.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and like Sodom and Gomorrah, if you only keep going down, I kept, well, there's three, you know.
Yeah.
And it kept, and it was the same thing with the children of Israel with Moses. They talked to God. They negotiated.
They kept saying, well, God, what about this? So, you know.
So there had to be a relationship there that they felt enough that they could actually do that.
Absolutely. One of the most enjoyable experiences Carol and I had with our youngest daughter was she wanted to negotiate everything. And after a while, it got to be a pain sometimes. You just felt like saying, come on, do it. But you can see that negotiating experience and how she would always want to make sure, oh, well, if you're going to do that, what about, you know, and you'd say, okay. And then finally at some point you'd say, this is the line. This is it. We're done negotiating. But we've negotiated. We're here. But this is the point. And you can see that with Abraham and God negotiating. You know what? When you can negotiate something, what does it imply? That you somehow have some kind of valuing of each other.
A relationship,
absolutely. With my daughter, when she was a certain age and we would negotiate something, it was for her to feel empowered because they're going to at least consider that. Don't you think that's what God wants us to experience with Him? That our near accident is important to Him? Doesn't diminish the children that are suffering, but that's just as important because we're each important. Go ahead.
One of the things that I have looked at in through the years is we have a picture of God as this almighty, omnipotent, and all of the other things, words that we can almost not describe in God. And look at that all-powerful presence, but then to bring it closer and say, our Father, and understanding. And those that have struggled with the fact of a parent that was overbearing or whatever the situation, I had a very loving father. He was hard on us kids. And it seemed like after a certain point in time, it's like he backed off and he said, okay, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that God, in his picture for our lives, as he did for Abraham, he calls us and he leads us and then he lets us go. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, once you realize that God is there for every need, then a love relationship develops, that and a trust that is just unbreakable. And God will not let you go. You might try to turn loose, but once He has you, He's not going to let you go.
Absolutely.
And that, to me, is one of the most confounding realizations that we can have, is that God loves us so much, He is not going to let us go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean, I've lived through the experiences that could have turned so far off. And yet, here I am. Life is together, and I'm so happy with what God has done for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That idea that God will not let you go is so important to remind ourselves. Because, I mean, growing up in the church and the academy, if you ever thought about going to a movie, the angel would stand at the door. That was that implication that somehow, you know, God couldn't be with you. And, you know, that's the challenge we have in all of ourselves. And that's the progress. That's the progressional thing that we have to remember, is that God, how He continues to work. We're going to look here in Genesis chapter 15. And there's some interesting things to keep remembering about Abraham. And you remember, and I want to go back to one other thing too, is remember that the stories in the Bible aren't about Abraham. They're about God. And how God is working just as He was talking about. So while Abraham is the person we're studying, it's about God. So let's look here. Afterwards, Jehovah spoke to Abram in a vision, and this is what He told him. Don't be fearful, Abram, for I will defend you, and I will give you great blessings. But Abram replied, O Lord Jehovah, what good are your blessings when I have no son? For without a son, some other members of my household will inherit all my wealth. Now that gives you a little insight of Abraham's mindset. I'll have a son. I don't, you know, and we got to remember the time period and the culture. Thus Jehovah told him, No one else will be your heir, for you will have a son to inherit everything you own. Then God brought Abram outside beneath the nighttime sky and told him, look up to the heavens and count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that, too many to count. And Abram believed. Then God considered him righteousness on account of his faith. What does it mean to say God considered him righteous? You know, I think I could accept this if it was written about Daniel or Elijah. But you think about Abram, God considered him righteous. Well, then he's perfect, right? In God's eyes at that moment, he's perfect. But that, going back to our own experience, was he perfect in his behavior? Absolutely not. But he knew where to turn. He knew where to his strength lied. He knew in whom he believed. And that's the powerful thing about this, that God considered him righteous. And it goes on. And then humanity takes over. And you know what? This is true about all of our lives. Go into chapter 16. But Sarah and Abram have no children. So Sarah took her maid, an Egyptian girl named Hagar, and gave her to Abram to be a second wife. Since the Lord had given me no children, Sarah said, you may sleep with my servant girl, and her children shall be mine. And Abram agreed. This is the man God declared righteous. And I keep going back to that because it shows you the struggle of humanity. Abram is going to work out his own salvation right then. He said, I'll go along with you, Sarah.
Okay, well, maybe this is the way it's supposed to be. And I think that's the challenge. Abraham has the same challenge that we have at times. I think I need to do this now for you, God. I think you may have gone to sleep up there. Maybe you've taken a little break. Maybe this is your off time.
And Abram agreed. This took place 10 years after Abram had first arrived in the land of Canaan. So he slept with Hagar, and she conceived. And when she realized she was pregnant, she became very proud and arrogant toward her mistress, Sarah.
Human dynamics. Look, I've got power now. I've got some power. Yeah. I'm pregnant and you're not. You may be the boss, but I've still got some power. Go ahead.
Well, Abraham loved his wife because she named Isaac. The word Isaac means laughter. Mm-hmm. And Abraham, that's the thing that he appreciated about his wife, was because his wife enjoyed worshiping God just as he did.
Well, there's a whole new dynamic about that laughter thing. But it's really interesting to remember how this was once again illustration of our human dilemma. We can have a connected relationship with God, but then we have moments where we think, I've got to figure this out. Boy, I can tell you as a parent, I look back on a lot of things in my life, and I say, oh, I was trying to orchestrate there. I was trying to make that. Instead of just letting go, like you talked about, and said, okay, it's kind of your life now. And you know, that's a challenging thing to do. It's a challenging thing to know how to be involved, be connected, and be a part, but also to step back and watch. You ever like watching a train wreck happen? No fun at all. And I tell you, my wife cried as my youngest daughter went down the wedding aisle, the marriage aisle, not because she was so blissfully happy, but because we saw a train wreck coming. Well, 3 years later, a divorce, and she started medical school. We knew that if she stayed in that marriage, there was not going to be medical school, and she said she wanted to go to become a physician. So, you know, but you know what? That was such a valuable experience for us to know how to stay connected, stay involved, but allow her to live her life. And that's still always the challenge. So you think about it with God here. He is so much better at it than we are. Look at how He stays connected in this world, but allows all kinds of train wrecks to be occurring. And I personally don't know how He does it. Because that's why He's God. And to think I could ever understand that is kind of ludicrous. But like Abraham, I want to focus on my belief and valuing and trusting that and being grateful. That's an important part of that, is being grateful. So the dynamics occur there with Sarah, Hagar, we know the story. She has a son, Ishmael. And yet God keeps His promises with Abraham and Sarah. To me, that's so significant. That's what you're talking about. He didn't let them go. I'm going to keep my word with you. You've been all over the map the last little while here. But I'm going to keep my word with you. You know, the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, goes back to Yahweh. What is the name of Yahweh? I am that I am, the perfect standard of righteousness. All sin will I judge, but immediately provide what you need to be righteous. So when we see the capital L-O-R-D, that's Yahweh. And how many times Yahweh came to Abraham? How many times did He come and that was the thing? I provided you with righteousness. I immediately provide what you need. So Abraham and Sarah finally have
the Son. And the whole thing about laughter is because they didn't believe. They thought, you're talking to a 100-year-old man here. You're talking to a 90-year-old woman here. What are you thinking? How many times in our life do we think, you don't know what you're thinking here, God. I'm not sure about this. It said here in the chapter 18, verse 12. So Sarah laughed silently. A woman my age have a baby? She scoffed to herself. And a husband as old as mine? Then God said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for God? Next year, just as I told you, I will certainly see to it that Sarah has a son. But Sarah denied it. I didn't laugh. She lied, for she was afraid. Once again, the human experience, having fear. It's part of our human dilemma, is how do we handle fear? That was Adam and Eve, their first experience. They ran when God called. They were afraid. So, Abraham had all kinds of experiences that just continued to reinforce his understanding of who God is. And in that understanding, he developed all kinds of connections that really then helped him throughout all of his life. You know, I want to go to the chapter 22. Later on, God tested Abraham. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always had this image of God up there testing. You know, okay, let's give you a test now. Any of you like tests? Just hate tests. I have test anxiety. What? And isn't that when we shift the focus from God testing, sound like a headmaster, to God's going to reveal. God's going to reveal something to you, Abraham. He's going to reveal how far you come. Wouldn't it be interesting if a teacher sat up, you know, guys, today you're going to have a revelation in our class. Each of you are going to have a piece of paper and you're going to reveal to me what stuck from all the things we've been talking about. Why are you smiling? You're a teacher, huh? How would that work, you think?
They'd probably have another perspective on it.
They'd look at you a little puzzled, wouldn't they? But I think that's really a more powerful way to present it. You're going to help me understand what is it that I need to emphasize next time I teach this. But what are we focused on? The grade. Am I going to make an A or a B? Or I hope I pass. I got to get a 75 so I can pass the course. So you just look at that and you think about how that works and how that takes place. But in our orientation, that idea of tested is somebody up there going to declare something as a result of what we just do. But really, like Eloise was saying, this God already knows. What's the test? He doesn't need to test. Go ahead.
The story of Abraham and the connection process. He struggled with some of the things I think that I've been struggling with, as you know, the last 4 or 5 years, I think the last 6 months. It was a place up. And people ask me why. And I say, because I don't know how to tell God no. If you really feel God is asking you to do something,
mm-hmm.
you don't know how to say no. I think that's where Abraham was. That he had that connection, that closeness with God. That regardless of where it was, take your son. He didn't know how to say no.
Don't you think he started reflecting back upon all the life experiences? I mean, isn't that the value of getting older? You start looking about how God led in this experience, how this occurred, how that occurred, where you've, you know, so all of a sudden the tragedies that we were involved in at the moment, we can look back and say, what a blessing. But it doesn't mean we feel it at that moment. And that's the most important thing. No one ever comes to my office and says, I'm just here to get a little more understanding. They're a tragedy. There's something not working in their life. My hope is that through that tragedy there'll be a blessing. So I think Abraham. So Abraham, God called. Yes, Lord, he replied. Take you and your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I'll point out to you. Now, you notice there wasn't any dialogue here that was recorded. Where was the negotiation? And God, wait a second. Could we talk about this? maybe this is one of those moments. Words came, and there wasn't any. Maybe that was that moment where there's no negotiation. The next morning, Abraham got up early, chopped wood for a fire upon the altar, saddled his donkey, took with him his son Isaac and two young men who were his servants, and started off to the place where God had told him to go. Now, go ahead.
I think something that is very interesting in this real short segment, Abraham, I do not believe, talked to Sarah about it.
That's what I understand, too.
Because that would have been the breakdown.
And maybe he understood the conflict and the stress that it would be with Sarah, and that she wouldn't trust in the God that he had the same relationship. Who knows? But you're right. There's understood that.
What's interesting about Sarah says Sarah lived to be 127 years old, and then this is in chapter 23, and she died at Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah, to weep over her. She went back to her own people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, don't you imagine during those 3 days, Abraham had a lot of deliberation going on? It wasn't like, here, go take him around the corner to that place, which is, you know, an hour away. It was a 3-day journey. And don't you think that that's significant? Because sometimes when we're in distress, we need to kind of have time to process. We need time to kind of sort things out. I do that sometimes when I'm driving. I like driving. You know, it's just kind of, but sometimes it's relaxing. Don't like driving yet. It's a good thing. I don't like driving. I have to get to someplace a certain time necessarily, but sometimes I just like driving. And so I kind of imagine Abraham during these 3 days, there was a lot of sorting. And what kind of things do you think he went through his mind?
He had 3 days to talk himself out of it.
Questioning, huh? Had questions. But don't you think he came to some pretty good conclusions? First off, God told me, made this promise. He promised me a son. And here I'm advanced age, and I had a son with Sarah, who's advanced age. So he kept that promise. Oh, don't you remember that night he took me out and he looked at the sky, stars, and he said, your descendants are going to be too numerous in the stars in heaven. He kept that promise. Oh, don't you remember how we negotiated down to that so many in Sodom and Gomorrah? He kept his word even though he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. See, I think that's the key in this thing is this was for Abraham to go through and to reaffirm his understanding of God. Because as you knowing God's ministry is about, if you really know who God is, you will love Him. That sign in that church, our job is to know and love God. And it was such an interesting thing, it hit me. I don't think it's our job. I think to know God is to love God. So if you want to put it in a job standpoint, our only job is to really know Him, because in knowing Him, we will love Him. Go ahead.
When he was traveling those 3 days, he could think, maybe that was not God's voice, maybe the devil telling him to do. How can God ask for me something like that, to kill my own son that He gave me, you know, in old age? He had a lot of confusion in his head. But what I think that he knew God's voice very good, because he'd been speaking with God many times. So he probably put away that thought that I was not God. But still, you know, in human thoughts, in that kind of situation, like we today have a lot of problem in our lives, you know, you start to think, oh, maybe that was not God's will, maybe that, maybe this. Now we are human.
That is true. And you know, that is a real struggle we all have in all areas of our life. What is God's will or not? Go ahead.
Just spin this completely the other way.
Spin it.
He would have never left if he had any doubt. He would have come up with a million excuses not to go.
Okay. So he would.
If he left, he had already determined it was God. He has asked me to do this. I'm going to do it. And so I think the trip over the 3 days was, I wonder how he's going to make this play out. I believe that he is going to have, you know, my offspring be this, this nation. How is he going to reveal himself? What's up his sleeve? What is he going to do next? I think he was more curious about how it was going to play out than whether he was going to follow.
So the fact that he got up and he started out and went, to you indicates that he had already realized this was God, and he was gonna be curious how it's gonna play out. And you know, that's a neat spin on it, because it was like, now I've got so much of a trusting relationship, I'm gonna see how this is gonna work out. Because everything that God had told him had worked out. So however you wanna, whatever angle you take on it, it's interesting the fact that this was his opportunity to really understand his own self. Go ahead.
I was trying to think about this. I was thinking that 3 days we spent just totally having a love affair with his son. Like I was thinking, I know this is about to happen, and he was my child, and I love God so much, and he's done so much for me. God showed me 100%, like, there was never any error. He had made so many positive deposits, but this one thing, initially I would have, like, freaked out and done all things, and then once committed, I just
would have
loved him so
much. Sure, absolutely. And that's another way of what's this going to be about with Isaac. And don't you think that he come to the recognition that even if he were to go through with it, God would provide? That God would have a way to resurrect his son or to provide? Go ahead.
I agree with that. But I think, regardless, when he left, he knew that it was going to, in his mind, it may cost his son his life. In those 3 days, I see Abraham talking to his son about all the things God has done in his life, that he has seen, that he has, God has upheld his promises, all of these things. Because when they got to the altar, son didn't turn around and run.
No.
And I don't think it was because of obedience to his father. His son had experiences when he was experiencing the same things that Abraham had gone through, and said, if this is what God wants, Dad, I'll do both. Get up on the altar.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I saw another hand over here.
Well, I was just going to bring up the Isaac thing, too. He must have been, he had to have a great deal of faith also. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure through his life, he heard the story. All the stories, you know, people talk, your parents talk about this happened and that. He heard those stories, and they influenced his life. Mm-hmm. But he must have had a relationship with God, a faith relationship with God, a trust relationship. I think in this respect, it's not just faith, it's trust. Mm-hmm. It's blind trust, which is what blind faith is. And the two of them demonstrated themselves to trust God totally.
Yeah, your belief it's blind trust?
Well, it's blind. Sometimes in life it is. Mm-hmm. It's like when you don't know why, you don't understand, you just do because you know this is what it's supposed to do, or accept this is what it is when you, it's not what you want. Mm-hmm. But it's truly blindly trusting that God is not a fairy tale. He is real.
Okay.
Paul would like to say that trust was really based on some evidence that he'd seen and heard the oral traditions. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't blind, totally.
It was blind in the sense he didn't know how the outcome of that event was going to be. But the history, and go back to what we talked about at the very beginning. Think about your relationships. If you've had a connected relationship, if you've had people that you felt empowered with, you may do something with those individuals that you wouldn't ordinarily do unless someone else asked you. Why? Because you have a connected relationship, and in that connected relationship, you go ahead and you do something even though you don't understand how the outcome is going to be. So it's blind in the sense you don't know outcome, but it's incrementally been developed over time. And that's a powerful thing to realize is, you know, when you have a child who's had physical abuse or neglect, and you're 9 years old, you tell them, you think you can tell them to do something, and they're going to do it, just, and they look like you. Who are you? You're nobody to me. So you don't start figuring out how to tell them what to do. You start figuring out how to connect with them. You figure out how to create that sense of them feeling empowered. You know, you don't sit there and say, oh, we don't eat that way, or you don't do that. You say, here, you want some more? And these kids hoard food. Why? They're not sure where the next meal's coming from. They don't trust you. We're gonna eat in 3 more hours. They don't trust you. That. So you start realizing you got to work incrementally. And this wasn't at the beginning or the middle of Abraham's life. This is after he incrementally went through the process of developing a relationship where there was such a connecting experience with God, where he knew in whom he believed, that he was going to take a trust. And the blind part was the fact he didn't know how it was going to turn out. That was true. There's a very... But that's really true about all of us. How is something going to come out? I don't know. I know how I'd like to come out. And usually that's probably some of the worst thing for me. But I think it's important we realize that this was Abraham's experience of starting to realize, I know in whom I believe. You had your hand up earlier.
You see, in chapter 7, where Isaac was questioning, we have the fire, mm-hmm. we have the wood, mm-hmm. for the sacrifice. And Abraham's reply is, my son, God will provide.
Absolutely.
So he did have that trust, whether blind or not. Mm-hmm. He believed that God was going to provide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you think about it. Abraham is the one individual who has had an image, a vision of understanding God and his relationship with his son. What a privilege. What a privilege to have the mind of God, to get a little glimpse into the mind of God as God watched his son, who was sacrificed, who did die, who did not have something provided. Other than he went through the physical death.
Now, I often wonder this. Did Abraham fully understand? Because this, I foresee, is God giving his own son. I wonder if
Absolutely.
Abraham fully understood that God was going to... It really wasn't a lamb story. Mm-hmm. God was going to provide his son someday.
Absolutely.
For Abraham's righteousness. often wonder, did he fully clearly understand that?
I'm not sure. Maybe they had a discussion about that, he and God, at some point, and talked about, well, this is going to be my experience. You know, we look at Abraham, and we look at his human experience, and you can look at it, and you can say, if you believe the history, say, well, there's been some tragic consequences as a result of some of Abraham's choices. But God is never changing. He loves Abraham. He loved his sons. And he continues to intervene in this world with love. So regardless of how we see things being played out, whether it's on a local level, a national level, or international level, whether it's on a church level, a conference level, or a global level, God continues to love his people. And his people are ones that respond to him, the ones that love him, the ones that believe. So he declares them righteous. And to me, that's such a beautiful promise. That's such a powerful promise that God declared Abraham righteous. He didn't say, you're perfect now. He said, you in my eyes are perfect. Let's continue to develop this relationship. And to me, that's what's exciting about heaven is. We continue to have that development. We continue to have that understanding about God and understanding God. And it says it will be forever we will do that. And as Pastor Kevin's talked several times, that the gap between us and God will never be bridged because he's eternal and we're not. But yet, it's going to get a lot closer. And to me, that's exciting. To me, that's exciting to think about. I'll understand this or understand this. And then I'll be more amazed at other things that I want to figure out. And to me, that's an exciting part of understanding God. And I think the story of Abraham illustrates God and his wanting to connect, his empowering, and wanting a relationship with each one of us. So remember, this is about God. And how he worked with Abraham, he's doing the same today with each one of us. And that's exciting. Shall we pray? Dear God, we're so grateful that we can sit there and read this story about Abraham. We're so thankful that you've given us this example of a man who struggled and lived his life, but he knew you and he developed a relationship so trusting in you that he would take his only son and was willing to sacrifice. We know you, God, you experienced that for us. You allowed your son to be crucified. And we're grateful that this occurred so we have the opportunity to experience eternal life. May each one of us experience that power and that sense of entitlement because you do love us. So that we then can share with others more of your love for each one of us. Thank you for this Sabbath day and this class. In your holy name, amen.